What's up, Kantians, and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. I know I am. In this episode, I hop on my soapbox to talk to you about self-development and what I think that means. I began with education, and then I moved to just overall improvement of the self, that 1% better each day concept. So I hope you all learn something and enjoy the episode. Let's get it started.
Coors Banquet, brewed in the Rockies.
What's up, Kantians? So, this episode's going to be pretty quick. I just want to go over self-development. And what I mean by self-development, I mean furthering your education after you're finished with school. My conversation with Greg on last Sunday's podcast episode, which you should definitely check out, especially if you're interested in marketing, you learn a little bit about everything, psychological motivation, spending habits, everything. But one key thing about that conversation was, what are you going to do after school? For a business major, an MBA is that point, right? That's the goal, is to get an MBA and then from there start your career, right? Well, what about after that schooling and once you started that career? Is it, okay, now I'm done learning, right? My education is finished. Well, no. Your formal education has come to a halt, but life is all about learning. It's all about expanding your horizons. And whether that means pick up a hobby or hobbies, whether it means picking up a book or maybe doing some certificate programs, which Greg's looking into now over at MIT, there's always a way or a platform to continue to learn. Even if that means surfing the web on Wikipedia and just randomizing your knowledge, that's okay, right? You're actually the guy that I would bring to Geeks Who Drink, right? That's a trivia night up in Alaska. I think actually it's around the United States, but I used to go with a bunch of my buddies. You know, that it doesn't matter really what it is that you're learning. It's just that you're learning outside of your horizon. And yeah, I'm a big believer in reading. And it doesn't matter what you're reading, right? It could be pulp fiction. It could be the greatest nonfiction works on the greatest people alive. It could simply be just like little novellas. It doesn't really matter what you're consuming as far as literature or reading goes, as long as you're reading and learning something, right? People believe that fiction is just entertainment, and the point is to entertain you, yes. But if you're the creative type like I am, and you're a writer, then reading is actually a way to stimulate some kind of knowledge. Oh, I see what that author did with this. Oh, I saw how this author developed this character in a very weird way that I've never seen before, right? How can I implement that in my storytelling? Whatever it is, right? There's always a way to expand. Well, I'm doing something a little bit new, and I'm super excited about it. I just started it today, even though it's been open for about 3 weeks now, is an online courses, I guess, for business at Harvard Business. And if you've known me for at least the past 10 years, you know my dream has always been to attend an Ivy League school or even schools like Oxford, very high influential schools. But I never had the grades, nor did I have the extracurricular activities behind my belt or the money or the personal influence. And also, I didn't have the grit. I mean, I can be honest about my limitations. But when I saw that a Facebook friend of mine posted on Facebook that you can actually attend one of these courses or some of these courses for free. Sorry, if you're hearing a scraping in the background, it's because I'm recording in my bedroom and my ferret, for some reason, is digging at the ground. So I apologize to the listeners. It's the life of owning ferrets. They make a bunch of weird noises. Anyways, I saw that Harvard is opening up to 5,000 applicants to sign up for free business courses. Now, this isn't a certificate program. I think I do get something like a certificate of completion, but it doesn't like mean anything, right? Like, I didn't get a degree from Harvard's business school, right? But it is being taught by the same professors that teach at Harvard. And it is also a great way to expand my knowledge of business and entrepreneurship and marketing to better improve my businesses. And that's why I signed up and I got in. I was accepted. And I started it today and I was like, man, I was just taking a step back. I'm like, look at this. This is so cool that I was able to take an Ivy League course. This is the same information that is shared to Harvard Business School students. And I am blessed to be able to participate in it. It's awesome. And I'm just glad that right now we're in a place in technology where this kind of information is accessible almost completely worldwide. There's still a percentage of the world that doesn't have the broadband that we have, right? That has access to the internet the same as you and I here in the United States or in developed countries, right? We take it for granted. Let me paint an example for you. It was probably last month. I was chilling at home, probably should have been out knocking doors, and I was just chilling, having like one of those like low days mentally, right? I was just drained. So I was chilling at home, buzzing around social media, and all of a sudden things stopped loading. I'm like, well, what the fuck's wrong with the Wi-Fi, right? And I'm like, okay, well, let me turn off the Wi-Fi on my phone and I will, just use my data. Nothing's loading still. I'm like, well, I know the bill's been paid and I know I haven't used all my data, right? It was like maybe a couple days after the bill cycle restarted, right? So I'm like, there's no way I went through all that data on my quote unquote unlimited data package. That is such horse shit. I need to have a whole podcast on that. But anyways, so nothing's loading. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm actually becoming furious and like my anxiety is going up. I'm like, I'm disconnected. Like, I'm totally fucking disconnected. I have no idea what's going on. I can't even see if there's outages. I can't see if there's like something going on in the city because I don't have cable. Right? How scary that and I mean, obviously it's a developed first world problem, right? But how scary to be completely without knowing, right? Like you're in the dark. I couldn't just turn on the TV and check the news to see, oh, is there a power outage going on in Laredo? Or not a power outage because it wasn't power, but is there a data outage? Or is there like something going on with AT&T? I couldn't check because I have streaming services. My cable is through YouTube. Well, if there's no Wi-Fi, there's no YouTube TV. If there's no data, there's no YouTube TV. So this happened. Well, like I said, this happened probably about a month ago, but when it happened, I was like in the dark. So I'm like, well, fuck. Okay, I'm just gonna, I guess, sit here steaming mad and read. I ended up picking up a book and reading, but it was frustrating. And it turns out that there was a total like wipe out of Spectrum and AT&T somewhere nearby, not in Laredo, but somewhere nearby that affected us. But it's just so interesting that we take that stuff for granted. And my coping skills without it were poor, right? Like, I had an unreasonable response to not having internet. Whereas, if we just go back 20 years, right, no one would have had that same response, right? Because and the internet wasn't as accessible, right? Like, you had dial-up. Dial-up sucked ass to the point where, like, most people use the internet simply just to communicate with email. That was it, or maybe surf the web a little bit, but even that took a long time. So most of it was just emailing. And then MySpace came out, and then Facebook came out. And of course, during that time, LimeWire and all those, like, torrent companies came out. And they were still slow, but you could still use them. And it's just very interesting. Anyways, I digress. I just wanted to paint that picture of like taking this for granted. But now I'm in a spot where Harvard is up there in New England, right? And I can take, well, kind of New England area, I guess. But I'm here in Texas, like almost at the southernmost point, almost at the southernmost point of Texas. And I'm taking courses there. And it's just, I mean, it's just so cool. So right now, while most of us are still in shelter in place or quarantined, you can take advantage. And hopefully people have for the past couple months, where you've taken advantage of the abundance of time that you have at home to spend it with your loved ones, but also to develop yourself, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, just improving yourself. And that's all we can do. You know, I try and live by the philosophy of improve 1% every day, right? You're not gonna completely overhaul yourself, right? If you're lazy, like me, like I am a lazy person, right? I tend to try and stay in my comfort zone, and then I dig deep into that comfort zone. So what I push myself to do is get out of that comfort zone, right? But that's not gonna happen overnight. Like, I'm not gonna start waking up every day just ready to kick life's ass, right? And just improve. And I feel like a lot of motivational speakers don't talk about that, right? You know, especially, you know, my favorite motivational speakers, and this isn't a dog on them. It's not. Is former Navy SEALs like David Goggins, Jocko Willink, what's that? Jack Carr, I think his name is. It's not, and Dan Crenshaw, who's a congressman in Houston here in Texas. But it's not to like dog on them, but these guys are intense, right? And because they were developed to be intense. Navy SEALs are the top of the Navy when it comes to special operations. So those guys are supposed to be highly disciplined and ready for action at any given time, right? If there's a lull, they're sharpening their swords, right? You know, a figure of speech, right? They're not sitting down, binge watching Netflix, right? Oh, we have downtime. Cool, I'm gonna clean my guns. I'm gonna make sure my gear's ready. I'm gonna look at the next tactic. I'm gonna see what's our next move and stuff like that. Plan mentally. I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna strengthen myself. You know, normal people don't think like that, right? Or else we would all be special operators, right? But there is a way to develop yourself into someone who thinks a little bit more critically about your actions and how it affects your trajectory in life, right? So if you have a lull time, instead of binge watching TV and just kind of sitting around, maybe turn on something passively and tidy up. That's what I did today. I've been working so much over at Domino's, which I never thought I'd say that, but you know, sometimes you have to take a step back, right? And I'm putting in about 50, I'm trying to shoot for 60 hours a week because I took a huge pay cut, so I'm trying to like make up for that, right? By switching careers. Well, hopefully Domino's isn't a career. That's not my goal, right? But until I get into Border Patrol or get into something that is a lot more stable with benefits, hopefully a government job of sorts, you know, I'm trying to put in the hours. Well, by doing that, I was also disregarding my home duties. So I knew that I had to take a step back and be like, okay, Lakota, right? Today, I don't go until 5, right? There's a number of things I want to get done, one of which is work out. I want to tidy up, get laundry done. I want to spend a little bit of time with my wife, which I really didn't get an opportunity to because we were both working on our passions, right? But there was things I needed to get done, one of which was recording this podcast, another which was recording another podcast with a friend that will come out Sunday. So I had things to do. I also had a lot of downtime since I didn't work till 5 and I woke up at 8, right? That gives me a lot of time to just sit around. So instead of sitting around, I took little mini breaks, but I'd put on my show. Like I said on my last podcast, I'm watching Burn Notice. I put it on and I do stuff, right? It's just playing on my phone. It's not like I'm actively watching it, but I'm actively listening, passively watching it every once in a while. But by doing that, I was able to clean up our pigsty of a room, right? April and I have both been working a lot, and April was also sick yesterday, so on her day off. So I didn't fault her for it, but we'd let laundry stack up. If you're a normal American couple, you know exactly what that looks like, right? Especially if you have kids, which we don't. But even if you have kids, like double or triple that mess. It's just a clutter of clothes. And you're walking all over it, right? Well, I got to the point where I'm like, I gotta clean it up. So I put on my show. I set a timer for 20 minutes and I did everything that I possibly can do in 20 minutes and then stopped, took a 5-minute break and repeated. That's always been my process. I think I've talked about that in the podcast where I set a timer for something. I do it for reading too, where I limit myself to a certain point, right? Whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's an hour, something like that, I try and chunk it up. I try not to do an hour at a time unless I'm like really in the zone. If you're in the zone, don't disrupt the zone with a break, right? Punch it out. If you're working on a paper, punch it out, right? And then stop when you've reread the same sentence 5 times, right? But when it comes to cleaning, I try and do it in 20 to 30 minute intervals, just like with reading. So I punched that out and then took my break, punched it out again, and then I knew I wanted to take an extra measure. Right, we haven't mopped these floors ever. Like, I don't think I've ever mopped my bedroom. So I took the little Swifter mopper or whatever I had. I swept everything up, and then I mopped. Picked up all the fair poop, and then I mopped over that. And so it was super clean. It smells really nice in this room. And the floor. I have ferrets, so the ferrets are going to kick around their litter and their food and stuff like that. So it's going to be a mess tomorrow. That I'll have to sweep up again. But for right now, it looks great, smells great. My floors have never been this clean. And I feel good about it. I feel good about it. That is so important. Your environment is conducive to how you perform. Right? So, it's I like it when it's tidied. And I do little tricks to my brain where I tidy. And sometimes I let it stack up and then I tidy hardcore and clean. Or when I'm really on point, I tidy 10 minutes a day. That's all it takes to keep it livable. And then on your days off, you disinfect, you clean, you do like your dusting and stuff like that. So develop yourself. Get better. Get smarter. Right, work harder. One of my favorite David Goggins quotes, right? And like I said, we're not all Navy SEALs. If we were, we would all be badasses, right? But let me take that back. I think we're all badasses in our own sense. And that might be some tooth fairy, like, floofy ass shit to say, right? But I believe it. I believe that we all have something to offer. And we all have something that we can improve on, right? So yes, we're all badasses. But a quote that I like that David Goggins says is, do hard shit, stay hard. Do hard shit, stay hard. And actually, do hard shit, I think, is something they beat into Navy SEALs and other special operators like Green Beret and stuff like that, because that is something that you hear a lot of ex-military special operations dudes, as they say, do hard shit. And why is that? Because it gets you out of your comfort zone. And success lies outside of your comfort zone. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be comfortable in your comfort zone. You know what I mean? Like really comfortable. Because I know when I get in my comfort zone, I get depressed because I'm not challenged. My brain requires challenging stimulation. Not to the point of like, oh my God, I'm gonna like off myself because this is too much. But challenging myself in little ways where it's like, oh yeah, I didn't know this. I'm learning this. I just switching to dominoes, although it's for the most part, right? And many of you people should not be shocked by this. All of you shouldn't be shocked by this. Working at a pizza place is a walk in the park. It's very simple, but there are technical things that I am learning, right? Making sauce, stretching dough, right? Those things, the logistics of how it operates. Those little things I'm very interested in learning. And I think that's why I got promoted so quickly because I was like, how do you do that? How do you do this? How do you do that? They're like, oh my God, he wants to know everything. It's like, yeah, because you taught me this, I learned it in 5 minutes, now I want to learn something new. Right? And it's very simple. But I'm taking on little challenges because I want to grow and I want to develop. Right? And I'm gonna do the same thing if I get into Border Patrol. How do you do that? How do you do this? Right? How do I improve? You should always improve. Do hard shit, stay hard. Right? But that saying, it is so powerful, right? You know that little voice in your mind when you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. When you hear that little voice say, I don't want to do it, or even if you manifest it verbally, that is the exact thing you should do. Now, I'm not saying if it's like, under duress, right? Like obviously if someone's forcing against your will to do something that you feel is immoral or is going to harm you, don't do that. I guess I have to be very clear in this 2020 social climate, right? But I'm talking about like the little things that we let stack up. Oh, the dishes. I don't want to do the dishes. Well, fucking do the dishes, right? That's the exact fucking thing you should be doing, right? I don't want to make my bed. That's the exact fucking thing you should be doing. I don't want to read. That's the exact fucking thing you should be doing. I don't want to run. I don't want to work out. Right? I don't want to cook. I don't want to eat healthy. I don't want to sacrifice my comfort time to do something that is not part of my comfort time. Right? That's the exact fucking thing you should be doing. And it's once you train your brain to start doing that by just doing it, right? That's the only way to do it. Right, I'm giving this advice to you absolutely free. Right, people pay Tony Robbins $5,000 for a 3-day seminar to learn this kind of shit. Right, you want to get better? Do it. Right, you want to feel better about yourself? Get out of your comfort zone and do what you've never done before. Right, do it. Get better. Right, my biggest thing right now. That I mean, besides like the whole dominoes thing, that was out of my comfort zone. Now it's becoming part of my comfort zone. So I'm trying to challenge myself at work by like timing myself and shit like that. Anyways, I digress. But one thing that I've always struggled with in life is financial literacy. Well, I'm taking a Harvard Business School course on entrepreneurship and money management, right? That's gonna help. On top of that, I sat down with April's aunt and uncle. Right, her uncle is a CFO of a company, and he's an accomplished accountant. Right, boom, I knocked that out. I'm learning something. Right, I'm implementing a saving program where I'm saving all of my tips, and I'm saving majority of my actual worked income, so I can pay down debts and I can start building my net worth. Right, it never mattered how much money I made. I've made a lot of money in the past 3 and a half years. But I spent a lot of money too. So I'm working on how to manage just 30,000 a year, right? I couldn't manage six figures, right? Couldn't manage 70,000. Let me manage 30,000, right? So I'm starting low, and that's out of my comfort zone because I like buying shit. It makes me feel good, right? But I know buying shit has put me in the situation that I'm in right now. I don't want to be in the situation I am right now. So I'm doing something different that it's going to change that trajectory of the situation I'm in right now. Same thing with my body, right? I probably should end it here before I keep going on these rants, right? But one thing I was thinking about is your body is a representation of what you needed to do, right? So if you're a couch potato, your body is going to be very adapted to the couch potato body type, right? It's going to be soft. It's going to be comfortable, right? You're not going to be like hard and tense from working out because you don't need to, right? You want to be comfortable. And versus look at like Matthew Frazier, right? Who's like arguably, I mean, in CrossFit, right? He is the fittest man alive 5 times in a row, I think it is, or 4 times in a row, whatever it is, right? But I would say, even outside the CrossFit realm and in that competition, he is like one of the fittest men in the world, right? Look at his physique. He's not a bodybuilder, right? He didn't sit there and do, you know, 1,000 crunches a week and like diet it down to get like his abs showing. No, like he eats, if you actually look at his videos, he's not doing anything special. He doesn't do ketogenic, he doesn't do carb cycling, he doesn't do anything. His wife cooks him food and he eats it, right? And it's like bagels and stuff like that. So if someone, if he can eat like that, then what does that mean? That means it's because he's working so damn hard that he's still in a caloric deficit where he's remaining ripped and shredded all year round, right? And I'm sure, right? I mean, he's a celebrity now, an athletic celebrity, so you're not going to see him pudgy. But I doubt that he gets beyond 15% body fat. I doubt it, right? Just by looking at him compete throughout the year, you know, I mean, this COVID thing kind of puts a halt to that, but, you know, they have competitions throughout the year, so his off-season's only like 3 months long, right? You're not going to see pictures of him with his shirt off during those 3 months. But his body is a representation of what he needs it to do, right? Well, he needs to compete at a very high level where he is needing endurance, he's needing strength, he's needing stamina to keep going. That's what that body type looks like. And if you look at Matthew Frazier with all those high-end competitive CrossFit athletes, even on the female side and on the, what do they call them, legends? That's above 50, I think it is, the legend side. They're all shredded like that. Why? Because that's the body type that comes out of that kind of strenuous activity, right? Very broad shoulders, small hips, very lean torso, and very strong legs, but durable legs, so for long-distance running, right? That's the whole point of CrossFit is I'm ready for everything. If you compare that to Navy SEALs, they look about the same, right? So if you want your body to look something, like you want it to look a certain way, you need to do the exact same thing that those people are doing. I know that seems commonsensical, but like I feel like all of us are looking for fucking shortcuts, right? And I'm guilty, right? Like I've definitely looked for shortcuts, fasting, veganism, ketogenic, whatever it is, right? Shortcuts. But if you just made a 1% change every day towards a good habit, replacing a bad habit with a good habit, right? Then you're going to get to that point. You're not going to do it overnight, right? It took me, my little brother, I think it was my little brother, maybe it was Bryce. I said, it took you about 4 years to develop the body you have right now. How long do you think it's going to take to reverse that? Right? It's probably going to take 4 years, right? I mean, if I really buckle down and I'm pretty strict with it, I think I can get down in like a year, year and a half, where I'm like a lean 200, a lean 195, and I'm like, I'm ripped, right? And I'm making those small changes every day to get to that point. You can too, right? If you're a hard gainer, eat 1% more every day, right? If you need to lose weight, eat 1% less every day, right? I mean, it's as simple as that. Or work out 1% more every day. Or just work out. You know, I try and do something every day, even if it's not strenuous, if it's 10 minutes of stretching, okay, that's allowing my body to function better throughout the day. Maybe it's just 100 push-ups so that I can feel swole throughout the day and I can feel good about myself, right? Get the testosterone going, get the like everything, like my blood flowing, everything, just all the hormones, right? Something. So it's the same thing. Like when I'm talking about improving yourself and learning something new, that all comes with just being a better you, right? Be the best you can possibly be, right? And it doesn't mean we're all going to be super Saiyans and like superhuman, like special operators, right? But if the best you is 5'7", you sit at like 210, right? That's like a decent healthy weight if you work out, right? If you lift weights. If you don't, right, you should probably be at like 175, 180, right? You read at least 12 books a year. You do some kind of coping, right? Whether it's praying, whether it's meditating, whether it's Tai Chi, whether it's yoga, something that de-stresses you, right? You should encapsulate every aspect of that, right? Look for the best you, whatever that may be. You have to create that. Because everyone's different. Everyone's literally different, right? And everyone is struggling with something that is unique to them. You know, there might be people that can sympathize and empathize, but at the end of the day, you're competing with yourself. So don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to who you were the day before. Okay, so I'm gonna hop off my soapbox. Hopefully you guys learned something, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And yeah, we'll just get to the outro. All right, Kantians, that's the end of the episode. I hope you all learned something. Just to recap, read something for 30 minutes every day, whether it be a book, a newspaper, a Wikipedia page, or an online magazine. Just something that will improve your knowledge of the world around you. Coupled with reading, do something hard every single day. Something that is out of your comfort zone. If that is reading, then challenge yourself to read more than one item a day for 30 minutes each. So start your day with 30 minutes of reading a book. End your day with reading 30 minutes of, I don't know, National Geographic. Just something. And do that until you have created a healthy habit out of it to add another hard thing to your agenda. If it's working out, then challenge yourself to work out at least 20 minutes a day. And then improve that every week. Once that becomes a habit, then add something else. Whatever it is, I challenge you to face it every single day, and when it becomes easy, face something more challenging. I believe we can all improve 1% each day. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Please like and subscribe wherever you found this, and turn on notifications so that you never miss a new one each Wednesday and Sunday. Also, for your CBD needs, visit us at Philosopher's Apothecary at philosapothecary.com. We are offering free shipping on all U.S. orders during the COVID. You can join me online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. All links will be in the description. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the week, and I will chat with y'all on Sunday. Peace.